This message is, do what the Lord says. That's simple enough, isn't it? Do what the Lord says, but it's difficult. Maybe it's one of the hardest things to do. It's hard to do what the Lord asks us to do, but it's even harder than to just leave the result to Him, isn't it? Because we want to keep trying to do it ourselves. Well, Moses had done what God had called him to do. Him and Aaron had gone into Pharaoh and told him what God said, let my people go. And so that's what Moses did. He told that to Pharaoh, but it wasn't going to be that easy. Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? It sounds to me like the children of Israel got too much time on their hands to think about these kind of things. And things not only didn't get better, they got worse. And the same day, Pharaoh commanded his taskmasters to not to give any more straw to the children of Israel for their making of bricks. And on top of that, the quota of bricks was not to change. And when they couldn't come up with the same quota of bricks, they were beaten by Pharaoh's taskmasters. And so the officers of the children of Israel, they went to talk with Pharaoh, but he wasn't going to back down or let them go. And it was then that they realized that they were in big trouble. And on the way out from Pharaoh, they happened to run into Moses and Aaron. And in chapter 5, verse 21, it says, they said unto them, let the Lord look on you and judge you, because you've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. And Moses said, just trust the Lord. God's going to come through. Just be patient. It's not what he said, is it? It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And why is it that you've sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. And then he says, neither have you delivered your people at all. Pretty bold things to say to God. Look at chapter 6 with me. In verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go, and with a strong hand, he will deliver or drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. As if to say, it doesn't matter who you are, Moses. What matters is who I am. And then look at verse 3. I appeared to Abraham. I was known to them. Verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them. Verse 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, and I have remembered my covenant. Verse 6, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under your bondage. I will rescue you. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Verse 7, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know then that I am your Lord, the Lord, your God. In verse 8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And then in verse 9, so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they would not heed Moses. Notice, because of the anguish and the cruel bondage. And so this thing isn't getting any easier. And then look down quickly at verse 28. It came to pass on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you, but Moses. There's that but again. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? I couldn't help but notice that back in chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, where Moses was questioning God, why have you done this? Why have you sent me? Since I came to Pharaoh, he's done evil to this people, and you've not delivered your people at all. At this point, Moses didn't even want to claim Israel as his own people. And he was blaming everything on everyone around him. He blamed Pharaoh, he blamed God, he blamed the people. But the problem was not with the Lord. The problem was with Moses. And Moses was going to eventually end up doing what God said. Moses was not waiting on the Lord. And Moses was not trusting the Lord for the outcome. You see, once we do what the Lord has told us to do, we can leave it there. At least we should leave it there. But he wanted an answer and he wanted it now. And so it was a problem of faith. Whenever we have trouble waiting upon the Lord for his outcome, his timing, it's a problem of faith. Faith, it says in Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so by nature, faith waits on God and waits on his timing. Obviously, Moses was looking at himself. He said more than once, me and I. And now in chapter 6, God will encourage Moses to take his eyes and the focus off of himself and place it where it belongs, onto God and to his promises. But did you notice, I read you just a little bit of it, that the Lord uses the first person singular pronoun, I, 17 times. And then in verse 12, Moses says, Israel hasn't listened to me. How's Pharaoh going to listen to me? I am uncircumcised lips. Again, Moses is right in the middle of the problem, and the problem is him. Sound like anybody you know? It's Moses' unbelief. Then again in verse 29, God says, I am the Lord. Moses was focusing on the problem, on the difficulties of the situation, on himself rather than the Lord and his word and his abilities. And the fact that Moses was discouraged was a clear indication that he was not looking to the Lord. Oh, by the way, the children of Israel weren't trusting the Lord either. They were trusting Moses, otherwise they wouldn't have gotten mad at Moses. But in verses 1 through 8, we have the challenge of the Lord to Moses. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Remember, they had already gone in to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I'm not letting you go. I don't care about this God of yours. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land. Moses says, you need to wait and watch what I will do. And I believe that from time to time, the Lord says the same thing to us when we're having a hard time trusting him. And because the children of Israel here are not trusting him, they're having a hard time seeing things clearly. They're not looking through the eyes of faith. And when we begin to question the Lord like Moses did, like the children of Israel did, it's an indication that we're not seeing the Lord in our situation. And notice, though, that it's with force that Pharaoh will let them go. It says with a strong hand. Now, that's exactly what God told Moses back in chapter 3. God speaking to Moses said, you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand, meaning by Moses' own hand. So I will stretch out my hand, God said, and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after this he will let you go. Now Moses either forgot what God had told him previously, it's a possibility, or he was trusting in his own hand. Either one's not good. And either one's possible with us. And when God says something, we need to then leave it with God and trust him. We need to wait on him and not take things into our own hands. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34, it says, Did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt? Before your eyes, the answer, of course, is no. It says, to you it was shown so that you might know that the Lord himself is God and there's no other beside him. God will do things his way and in his timing. And sometimes he waits until we've exhausted all of our own strength and we're frustrated. We've tried everything we know how and it hasn't worked. He will often wait till we get to that point to try and help us. And just like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he does so so that we will know he is the Lord. Have you ever been there? I wish we could just trust him when he says something and never have to lose sleep over it. But the children of Israel didn't leave Egypt under the mighty hand and leadership of Moses, but under the strong hand of the Lord. And neither will we. We need the Lord. If God had just delivered them, the moment they cried out, they would never have seen the hand of the Lord in it. They would never have known that he alone is the Lord and there's no other. And often God leaves us in our situations so that when he finally delivers us, we will know that there is no other God, that he's the only one. You mean God would even use an unbeliever like Pharaoh to hassle us so that he would eventually have to deliver us? You bet. With the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, at this point, it looks impossible that he would actually let the children of Israel go. And God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm actually going to have Pharaoh make you go. By the time I'm done with Pharaoh, he'll be begging you to leave. And that's exactly what he does. And just in case Moses was still struggling with all of this, verse 2. And God said to Moses, God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. As if to say, any questions? Case closed. And, you know, Moses, let's have a little review of who I actually am. In verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. The title of El Shaddai, meaning the God of power and might. Moses, did you forget that? Or did you think that I changed? But by my name, Lord, which is Yahweh, all capital letters, I was not known to them. So God had done mighty things for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob, and he's reminding Moses of that fact. And at times we need to be reminded of God's power, don't we? It encourages us to look through the pages of Scripture and to remind ourselves about the things the Lord has done for those that have gone before us that love him as well. Like the Lord told Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Paul to the church in Ephesus said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think or ask according to the power that works in us. And Moses is saying, or God saying to Moses, Moses, then I was known as God Almighty, but now I want you to know me by the name Jehovah, by Yahweh, by the Lord. And that name refers specifically to the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to multiply them, to bless them, to give them the land of Canaan, and to eventually send them the promised Messiah. So I spoke to them and dealt with them through my name God Almighty, but to you it's the Lord. More complete. And in verse 4, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. You see, Moses needed to be reminded at this point that God was a God who keeps his covenant. He needs to put two and two together. If God told him that Moses was, or that Pharaoh was going to let him go, then that was going to happen, and he needed to trust God for that. Our problem is we want it, and we want it now. And that's not always how God works, because he wants to do some things in us along the way. In the book of Hebrews, it says about those in the hall of faith, chapter 11, they all died in faith, not having received the promise. And so we need to dwell on the fact that God keeps all of his promises. He's faithful. And I have also heard, verse 5, the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And so this is another truth and a fact about the name of the Lord Yahweh, that he hears the groanings and the cries of his people. And we need to be reminded, as Moses was, obviously, that he's a God that hears us. He's a God that sees. He's a God that knows and he understands all that we're going through. And if he decides at that moment not to move his hand, then he's got good reason for it. It's not that he didn't see. It's not that he didn't hear. It's not that he wasn't concerned. It's that it wasn't right timing yet. Moses still had things to learn. The children of Israel still had things to learn. And I have remembered my covenant. I haven't forgotten. We're tempted, aren't we, to think God has forgotten maybe, you know. Did you forget, God? I mean, I did pray this 25 years ago, you know. No, God doesn't forget. We need to remind ourselves that God remembers, that he's not forgotten his promises. It'll be true to his word. Are you crying out to the Lord tonight? Is there something that you've been wrestling with God over, and you've been going to the throne and asking and crying out? Well, God knows. God cares. He remembers. He hasn't forgotten. And he's working in us as we're waiting upon him for the fulfillment of that. Learning to trust him. Learning that he's the only answer. Learning that we can only depend upon him. Psalm 34, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Isn't that beautiful? It also says in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around all of those who fear him and he delivers them. Maybe not when we think. Somebody said the Lord's not always on time, but he's never late. In that same psalm, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The more desperate we are, the more broken we are, the closer we are to God. And then in that same psalm, Psalm 34, the psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He guards all of his bones, and none of them shall be broken. Don't believe for a moment that God is not aware of what you're going through, of your situation, of my situation, or that he doesn't see us, he doesn't hear us, that he's not aware of our tears. You see, when we forget that God is God Almighty, like Moses had to be reminded, we start doubting, we start questioning, we start complaining, and even blaming God and blaming others. He's El Shaddai, he's the God of power. He's Yahweh, the God that remembers, the God of the covenant, the one that keeps his promises. We need to remember that. Boy, do we need to hear these kinds of things in difficult times. It's faith in God and who He is. Not faith in our abilities. I have a feeling that on some level, Moses was relying upon himself, trusting in himself when he went before Pharaoh. Therefore, verse 6, God speaking to Moses, based upon the fact of who I am, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. So not only did Moses need to be reminded of that, but so did the children of Israel. Would you go tell him, Moses, I am the Lord? You know what? Shouldn't that settle the issue? I am the Lord. We need to hear that, don't we? I'm the Lord. In the world and the chaos of it all and the way things are going, we need to know that He is the Lord. Which means He is in control of everything. Nothing's going to happen outside of His hand and His timing. Say to them, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under your burdens, the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. That statement of God with an outstretched arm was used about Pharaoh of Egypt and his strength. That was something that would catch their attention. But God's outstretched arm is going to overwhelm Pharaoh and his, that's for sure. The outstretched arm also spoke of an oath. Moses, would you remind yourself that this is something I promised? Now I will take you as my people and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Verse 6, I am the Lord. Verse 7, I am the Lord. Verse 8, I am the Lord. Get the picture? It's what you and I need to know in the middle of all the difficult situations we find ourselves in. In verse 6, we see God's redemption. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Remember that Exodus means the way out. The phrase, I'll bring you out, is used 277 times in the Old Testament. 83 of those times refer to the Exodus and the rest of them to the deliverance of His people in a multitude of situations. God will bring us out of our bondage. He'll deliver us. Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, therefore know, in other words, this is something we need to learn, that the Lord your God, He is God, He is faithful, He keeps His covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. That would include you and I. He's faithful. When we see the faithfulness of God in redeeming Israel and having His watchful eye upon them, we learn something about His faithfulness. We also learn to trust Him. Because He's faithful to them, He's going to be faithful to us. He doesn't redeem us and then forget us. He says, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. What a blessing to know that we belong to God and that He belongs to us. Isn't that wonderful? It says in the Song of Solomon, I am my beloved's and He is mine, and His banner over me is love. Isn't that wonderful? I'm my beloved's and he is mine, and his banner over me is love. You know what that means? The banner that God flies, the thing that he wants the whole world to know about you and me as believers, is that he loves us. He said, I just want everybody to know that I love these people. That's the banner that I fly over you. Isn't that wonderful? And that banner of love is designed to cause others to be jealous and to want him as well. And so I belong to the Lord. He loves me. So you be careful how you treat me, okay? Same's true of you. They were, of course, discouraged. They'd been beaten down. He says, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Notice that God does not just bring them out, but he brings them in. He doesn't just lead them out of their bondage in Egypt, but he brings them in to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. God hasn't just saved us for this. He's redeemed us for his kingdom. He's taken us out of this world. He's going to place us in his kingdom. And I, for one, am getting tired of this world. How about you? Look at the last part of verse 7 again. You shall know that I am the Lord. God wants you and I to know him. That's the greatest pursuit of man, is to know God. We could spend the rest of our lives, every moment of our lives, pursuing him and finding out about him and getting to know him. He's a person. He has a personality. David says, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O Lord. What a wonderful aspiration. God wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to be your God. He wants us to be his people. Now, the cause behind their lack of response to Moses in verse 9. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they would not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Somehow, they had forgotten their initial response to Moses and to Aaron. Look back at chapter 4, verse 31. When God sent Moses to them to tell them he was going to deliver them, this is what they said. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. But now, because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage, they forgot. They couldn't even respond to Moses now because they were exhausted. They were worn out. They were beaten down. My friends, that's a picture of sin and what it does to us. And when we're in the middle of our circumstances and we're letting sin reign in our lives, it's hard to respond to God. It's hard to remember what God has said to us and what God's promised to us. But the wonderful thing is, though they couldn't hear God because of their trouble, God heard them. Isn't that great? They couldn't hear God, but God heard them. And that's enough. You ever feel like you're so weak you can't go any farther? God hears. He knows. Psalm 40, verse 27, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over my God? Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, is the creator of the ends of the earth. Neither faints nor is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. That blesses me the older I get. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll mount up with the wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God hears us and God knows. And then in verses 10 and 11, the command of the Lord to Moses again. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, go in, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he must let the children of Israel go out of this land. Hey, Moses, do what I said. Again, simple but difficult. But please understand that all we have to do and all we're responsible is to do what the Lord says. We're not responsible for the outcome. That's between God and Pharaoh. Go tell him again. You see, it all boils down to obedience, doesn't it? Moses, would you just do it and leave the response to me? Sure takes a lot of pressure off of us, doesn't it? Just to do what the Lord says. Especially when things aren't turning out the way that we thought they should. That's the other thing we can do to sort of set up a failure, you know, is we figure out, yeah, God's doing this and this is what he's going to do and whatever else, and when he doesn't, we're kind of taken back a little bit. I wonder what happened. And now in verses 12 and 13, the complaint of Moses again. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. There goes the inward again. How then shall Pharaoh heed me, for I am of uncircumcised lips? So he goes back again. Lord, I told you that I couldn't speak good. Told you not to use me. You wouldn't listen. He's discouraged. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It's like God says, I don't care. Doesn't answer the complaint. But neither is God going to let him quit. The charge comes again. God had a plan to fulfill a purpose, and he's going to do it. And it's like he's saying to Moses, I'm fully aware of all of your excuses, all of your insecurities, but I want you to go anyway. And now there's a connection here in verses 14 through 27 in those involved that were there in Egypt at the time that were related to Moses and Aaron. And God's giving us a background. He wants us to know something about Moses and Aaron, who are brothers. But in verse 14, these are the heads of their father's houses. The son of Reuben, he's the firstborn of Israel, Jacob's first son, were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Camri. And these are the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon, who's Jacob's second son, were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shual, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the son of Levi, Jacob's third son, according to their generations, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137. And the sons of Gershon were Libni and Shimi, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133. The sons of Merari were Mahali and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. Now Amram, it boils down now to Moses' father, took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister. So he married his aunt as wife. And she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. Aaron took to himself Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, the sister of Nashon, as wife, and she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah were Asher, Elkanah, and Abisaph. These are the families of the Korahites. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Petuel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. And so Moses and Aaron, the point of all of this is that Moses and Aaron are not from the tribe of Reuben. They're not from the firstborn tribe, but from the tribe of Levi. And Moses and Aaron are not from even Levi's firstborn, Gershom, but from Kohath. And Moses is not his father, Amram's firstborn. Aaron is. Actually, his sister, well, Aaron would be the firstborn. He's a male. But he's even got an older sister. In other words, this man, Moses, that God uses is someone that no one else would have chosen. That's the point of this. Isn't that interesting? God wants to remind Moses that nobody else would have chosen him. But this is also a reminder to you and I that God can use anybody. He could use anybody, absolutely. These are the same Moses and Aaron to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. So all of that was just to say, to identify by genealogy and all, Moses and Aaron, just so everybody's on the same page as who they are. And these are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. Notice in verse 26, it's Aaron and Moses, which that's the way they were born. And in verse 27, these are the same Moses and Aaron. Do you know why? Because I don't. Now the concern of Moses again, verse 28 through 30. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. God reminds him again that he's the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. And here it is again. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me? That's the commentary on this. There's so many wonderful truths here. One is that God sure is patient, isn't he? If we were God, we would have smoked Moses a long time ago. You know, enough of the complaints. But God is so patient. So patient. And, you know, most of us are like Moses. It takes a little prodding, doesn't it? And we're not real quick on the uptake, you know, of information and all. We're not real quick to trust God. And we blame others. I mean, I do. I don't think you do, but, you know. And God can still use us. God knew that Moses was concerned with what authority he would have before Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the most powerful person on the earth at the time. You want me to go before him? He was concerned about his own authority. He was also concerned about his own abilities. Lord, I can't even speak good. Isn't that the same thing that we go through? God has told us, I want you to go to the world. And in a sense, he's telling us to tell them what Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, you know what answers both of those questions? The question of authority and the question of ability? I am the Lord. Now do what the Lord says. The authority is in God and it's in His Word. It always has been and it always will be. In fact, in the Great Commission, everybody knows that, right? Acts chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus spoke to them, to the disciples, and said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All of it. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We don't go on our own. And he ended up telling them at the Great Commission, and I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Well, I'm not sure if he'll go with me. I'm not sure he'll be behind me if I go. Wait a minute. All authority has been given unto him in heaven and earth. Go. And I'll be with you, by the way. Quit worrying about the details. Quit asking the questions. Quit making excuses. Would you just do what I told you? I am the Lord. It's that simple. Have you ever been concerned about your own abilities? You know, we all want to lead people to Christ, right? Did you think for a moment that it was your abilities? See, we get mixed up a little bit, don't we? We never led anybody to the Lord. It's the Lord. All we are is a mouthpiece. We've never caused anybody to repent. It's the Lord that does that. God's answer to every single one of us that feel inadequate, I am the Lord. That's it. Oh, and do what I say. Don't forget that. I don't know about you, but this encourages me. It encourages me to know that God's standing there. Everything He's called us to do and everyone He's called us to talk to, He's there with us and He won't leave us. And it's not our authority, it's not our ability, it's the Lord's. Moses is so much like us. You know why we're even talking about Moses tonight is because God used him. That's the only reason. We wouldn't even be reading about him except that God used him and wouldn't let him get out of it. He tried. Aren't you glad that God doesn't let us have our way even as much as sometimes we wish that he would, you know? You ever said, God, send them? Yeah. Again, it's an indication that we're not trusting the Lord if we're, you know, making excuses and being discouraged and everything else. It's an indication. We feel the pressure to perform and we can just leave it with the Lord. And God's answer every time, I am the Lord. I'm the God who hears your cries. I'm the God that sees your afflictions. I'm the God who cares. I'm the God of all power and might. I'm the God who will deliver you. You can count on me. I am the Lord. Over and over again. And seven times in our text, God said, I will. Did you notice that? And we don't see it in the English, but you know those are in the past tense. See, when God speaks, he can speak as though it's already done because it's sure to be done. Isn't that great? I will. I can relax. You know, one of the other things we struggle with too is that when the answer comes, it's often not what we expected. And so not only do we not recognize it, but we think, you know, that God didn't come through. We expected the trial to be over with. We cried out and thought, well, maybe that's how God's going to deliver us. And he decided not to. What he said to us in the middle of the trial is, I am the Lord. You see, what we really need is the Lord. I don't need deliverance from my troubles. I don't like them any more than you. But what I do need is the Lord in the middle of my troubles. And I know how I am. If I didn't have trouble upon trouble upon trouble, I wouldn't even give the Lord a second thought. That's just how I am. We would never get to know the Lord by not just God Almighty, but Yahweh. We would never know of His promises. We would never hear His words, I am your God and you're my people, if we weren't flung into these situations. It's in our trial that we really get to know who God is. And God doesn't always answer right away or even in the way that we think. Isaiah 55, it says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. He doesn't operate the way that we do. We start figuring this thing out, and as soon as he doesn't do it, then we're all like wiped out and, you know, where's God? Woe is me. I'm the only one, every other kind of a thing. And then his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, says the Lord. And he comes in, and he, when he finally does what he's going to do, he does it in such a way that we just stand back in awe, and he gets all the glory, doesn't he? If we could figure it out and then God did that, you know, we'd be going, that's not bad, is it? You know. No thanks, Lord. It's like the guy that was on the roof, right? And he's starts slipping and he's crying out to the Lord all the way down and he gets caught on a nail and he says, never mind, Lord. Yeah, right. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, just thankful again for your word, Lord, and the reminders that you are the Lord. And Lord, help us just to dwell on that, Lord, to not forget that. Then in every situation and in any situation, that's enough, that you are the Lord. You're the God that sees, you're the God that cares, you understand. And Lord, help us to remember that when we do what you've called us to do, Lord, we can just leave it there. We don't have to be concerned with the results. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of that fact. In Jesus' name, amen.